Time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome on in to this edition of the Voice of the Land as our big voice guy, Bob in Millersburg, just told you. I always forget to shout him out for doing that for us because I did a terrible job of doing that, and yet I put commercials together for my job now, and I have to read commercials, so I should have done a much better job with that. I didn't, but that's okay. Tonight, we are going worldwide with our guest, and yes, we do have a pretty cool announcement. I'm not going to oversell it and say this is a big announcement or anything. Jay, if you want to, you can. That is Always Positive Jay. We are in our home studios, and I put home in quotations for those that listen to the audio on the Be On Air podcast network, as well as Google, Spotify, Apple, your favorite podcast platform, wherever you find us. But those that are watching on video, of course, make sure you follow us at VTL_pod. Hit that follow button if you're just tuning in for the first time tonight. We are going worldwide. We're going to have a guest from Australia coming on the show. We'll have a pretty cool announcement. We got to talk some guards. We got to talk some Cavs. And I'm sure we'll get off the rails at some point tonight.
Of course.
We are part of the Big Play Network. We thank them for allowing us to be a part of their network and partner with LPV Productions. Also, thanks to our friends over at Vector Technical. They'll get the right person in the right job the first time. Yes, we will have more information on them as we go. Hopefully, everybody's enjoying the new way that we are putting clips for our show out. That is thanks to our producer extraordinaire, who you definitely won't see tonight because he's got a lot to take care of to make sure that Jay and I continue to sound proper and look as good as we can. I got a webcam working. I'm hoping the sound doesn't go out like it did with Andre, not the one night. But Peter is helping us out getting those clips together, and then I'm posting them for us. I did see that the system, Peter, cuts. Three of the clips were of those Vector Technical commercials. So, if they ever need to know what kind of commercials they gave us before, we can always send them right back to them because the clips were cut for them. I hadn't seen it the first 2 weeks we were doing this. And then last week, all of a sudden, I start scrolling through the clips that the system had cut for us. And I'm seeing these commercials. I'm like, well, that title looks pretty good, but that's not gonna get anybody to watch our show.
It cuts a lot of different clips.
It does. Like the first week, I think I only saw like 20, 21 clips, but these last couple of weeks, there's been 30 or so we get to choose from. Now, some of the stuff becomes null and void because we only do this once a week. So some things, conversations can change quickly. We're gonna talk baseball tonight. Look, that baseball conversation is going to change very quickly. So what we say tonight, the Guardians sit at 5-2 after another series win over the Seattle Mariners. So a little bit more credibility in the win there as people were saying, oh, well, they won 3 games against the Oakland A's, but it's the Oakland A's. Look, baseball is a hard game. No matter how good of a or bad of a team you are, if you're successful, you're only hitting 30% of the time. I can't stress that enough. The best hitters in baseball are anywhere from 30% to 35%. Like,
yeah, how many people batted 300 last year, Kevin?
On our team, nobody.
I think it was like 7 in the entire league.
Yeah, it is.
It was like ridiculously low. Like, not to get off the rails, but we're going to get off the rails. Like, I mean, batting 300, actually, it doesn't even matter. It don't matter. If you hit 40 bombs and a bunch of doubles, you could bat 220 and they'll like you. It's so weird. It's so weird.
We talk about it all the time, Jay. It's about the power game. It's it's power hitting. And now in these first couple of weeks, we've seen power. The power that we're looking for. It's the doubles. It's those balls hit that outfielders can't get to, and they're either banging off the wall or when they skip off that turf, it is a fast skip and it skips and bounds off the outfield wall. Like, that's the type of power. these little bloop singles and ones that just get through the infield. Yeah, Oakland and Seattle did not play very good defense in those two series. The Guardians had some issues as well. But look, if you're hitting doubles, Jose had two today. Brandon Keo has been hitting doubles. It's been a good start to the season, and you kind of see maybe that fresh voice. What Stephen Vogt is saying isn't anything different, I think, than what Terry Francona finished saying to these guys before he ended his tenure as manager. It's a fresher voice. It's a younger voice, and maybe it's just being said in a different combination of words that, you know, it helps these young guys have confidence right from the start of the year.
I mean, we were talking about that with JB Bickerstaff and the coaching staff. Like, what else were these guys going to learn from Terry Francona? I'm talking about the vets that have been there for a while. Like, they learned everything they were going to ever learn from Terry, and it's no disrespect to him, but they needed a new voice, like you're saying. And it's, I think, rejuvenated the team, it seems like, so far, because they're scoring runs, man, and it surprised me a lot. But when you got young guys fighting for positions, they're going to try harder, and you're going to get more out of them a lot of times. So it's still early. It's still extremely early. So I wouldn't get down and if they were losing, and I'm not going to get super over optimistic either, even though I'm always positive, Jay, when they're winning like this. Let's see. Talk to me about, like, you know, a couple months, and then I'll tell you what this team's really about. But I'm liking this hot start. I do enjoy the hot start, Kevin.
And you have to give a lot of credit to Shane Bieber in his two starts. 2-0, has not given up a run. Two games that he's gone six innings. I know last night he wanted to go deeper into that ball game. As an update for you guys, I have found a way to watch these games.
Nice.
So if I'm going to do a baseball-specific podcast like I'm doing, kind of helps. It's not that I don't know what's going on, and I'm smart enough. I've been around and know the game, been taught the game enough to look at the game cast on the MLB app and look at the box score after the game, listen to Tom Hamilton call the game to understand and have a picture of what's going on. It's just an added bonus.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing like watching the game, obviously, because then you could see how it comes up. The ball's coming off the bat. Just the sound of it, the ball hitting the bat, a lot of times helps. That's why you want to listen to the game. But you could totally figure out a game if you just know how to read a box score. Like you said, you could figure out how they scored, when they scored, and everything like that. But there ain't nothing like watching a good old baseball game.
Perfect example of what you were just saying, Jay, is a guy like Will Brennan, who got robbed twice by Julio Rodriguez last night and was struggling at the plate. His numbers weren't great at the plate, but you hear Matt Underwood and Rick Manning and Andre Knott on the Bally's broadcast of the game saying, like, when he did get a hit, and I think it was either today or late in the game yesterday, when he finally did get a hit and, you know, found the right spot in between two defenders, you know, they said, like, you know, luck was back on his side. You can look at his batting average, but this guy, like, I guess now that they, I don't know if you've heard this, Jay, but there's now a stat with expected batting average versus like the real batting average.
So, no, like, I have never heard of this one.
So I guess that's like somehow calculating how hard you're hitting the ball and, like, you know, if guys
the exit velocity on the bat, and
using all of these new
pretty much, if you're getting a hold of the ball, you're hitting it hard and you're hitting line drives, unfortunately, you're hitting them right to the guy. Like, if you're 3 feet one way, the shortstop ain't getting it. But yeah, I know, I never heard of that, but I know what you're talking about. I mean, you've known me, you saw me in my 20th season of playing ball. Like, I know it's, I understand when. Sometimes you're in a slump and you're not in a slump at the exact same time. You're hitting you're ripping the ball, but dude, like, dudes are making plays on you, or you're just ripping it and it's going boom, like I said, right to their glove, and you're just getting it's just unfortunate positioning of the ball, and that's hard to do all the time. Like, you want to rip the ball, but placing it the right spot is sometimes just luck of the draw.
And like you said, exit velocity, all of these types of things are the 300 hitter is not as important as how many home runs did you hit? What was your exit velocity? What was the launch angle that you were pretty standard at when you were hitting those home runs throughout the season? Like, that's all of the new stuff, the new age of baseball. But
I got to get used to this, man. I'm not going to lie. Like you said, I'm used to the, you got to hit 300 and stuff like that. And then now, the other day I seen it, there wasn't many 300 hitters. And I'm like, man, they just don't really care about average. And growing up, that was like the most important thing. You wanted to have a good average and the home runs would come.
And I think the thing about it is like, look, Terry Francona was preaching like an old school style of baseball. And for a long time it was working. And I'm not saying that when he left, things weren't working. It just, the talent and the direction the team was going and how Terry was managing them, it just seemed like they were more colliding than going in the same direction at that point. And that's why Terry and the organization, that was a true mutual parting of ways. When you read that, that's typically cliche for something didn't go right between these people. But like when you saw it with the Guardians, that's the type of organization where it's actually mutually agreed upon and they're still talking to them. So that old school style of baseball, that small ball that Terry Francona was preaching, I think Stephen Vogt is still preaching that, but in a new age of it. Like, you don't have to hit home runs to have a
power hitting lineup. You know, when you go to me and I don't have anything to say, you're like saying my thoughts right now, Kevin. And I'm like, you'll be like, Jay, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. You just said everything I'm thinking. Yeah, you're right on, dude. That's basically, I just went to like, they're taking the old school fundamentals and they're mixing it with the new school. Hit that ball hard, hit it at a different velocity, but try to keep your average up at the same time.
Yeah.
And if they could pull that together, man, they're going to be a special offense because they got hit. They have hitters and we got guys that we're waiting for to come up still.
And it's great if you can hit a bunch of home runs, but if you're hitting a bunch of solo home runs and nobody's on base, then, you know, that's what happens to the Angels all the time. Like, again, wasn't it last season where they lost the game 8-7? They had 7 solo home runs and still lost the game 8-7 when you had Shohei Ohtani on that team with Mike Trout. Like, yeah, hitting home runs is all well and good, and it's all part of this new age thing, but the Guardians are trying to see what they have in these young hitters that have been now brought up in this new age style of baseball, trying to get them to build the fundamentals back into their game and see what they have in these guys and try to be this hybrid type team. That's what I've seen the first 2 weeks. That's going to change. That could change in a day, let alone a week. Now, as a tease, we won't necessarily have a full week before we can talk baseball again, but we will get to that a little bit later. Before we do get to break and get to our guest, Jay, I do want to touch real quick, Tristan McKenzie. I'm not anywhere near overreacting. I know he didn't look great against Seattle the other night, but I had to explain this to my sister who got a chance to go. She lives in Seattle.
Awesome.
She got a chance to go to that game against Tristan. And then she's texting Jan and I today, like, oh, of course the pitchers are doing better when I'm not there. And I had to explain to her because I had to like get grandpa back into her head of how he taught us baseball. This guy didn't pitch most of last year and he came back towards the end. And then you have to ramp back down again. Then you got to ramp up with spring training and he was brought along slower than everybody else. And then he was given extra rest. He's your number two pitcher, but he was put in the 5 spot to start the season to give him that extra rest. So he needs to get back in that routine of every 5th day. Now you're pitching, hitting his spots, getting that game-like action, because nothing is going to compare to that if you're trying to do it in a bullpen or in spring training when you're just working on one pitch. Hitters are looking to try to hit one nitro zone versus another. Like, you're really honing in on just one thing instead of, all right, now the whole game of baseball is coming back to me. It's going to take him a few starts before we see the real Tristan McKenzie again.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first start. Yeah. Not that big of a deal. Like I said, talk to me in a few months. And then and if he's still struggling in a few months, then we'll be like, okay, something's up. But it's his first start, and I highly doubt it. The dude has proven that he's a really good pitcher when healthy. Let him catch his location, get his pitches right, and he'll be fine. Like, there's no need to ever overreact right now.
No, you know, sometimes I gotta, I'm not trying to rag on my sister, but I gotta
get on the radio. Go, this dude's got an ERA of blah blah blah. I'm like, are you seriously looking at people's ERAs right now? Like, why would you even bother looking at averages and ERAs right now? It's pointless.
The only one you can look at and like be astonished by it, but like not still not overreact to it, is Shane Bieber hasn't given up a run in 12 innings. Like, you know, Bieber, as good as he is, and it feels like he's getting back to that true ace that we always know that he has been, and he's overcome his injuries. He's put the work in the offseason. Like, he's going to give up runs this season. But in your first two starts, you're like, you're that in command, and you have 20 strikeouts, averaging 10 a game, like, over those first two starts. That is where an ace is. I'm not getting into how good he looks and what that means for his value and things like that. Those conversations.
Can we just agree on this show? If and when it happens, that's when we'll talk about it.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
Peter, are you in agreement on that? Peter, good with that?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Right. Perfect. All right.
I didn't want to argue with an AI system.
No, I'm definitely not arguing with him. We are going to hit our first break of the night. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we do have a cool announcement to make and where the show might be going over the weekend. We will talk about that then. But coming up next, we go worldwide. We go to Australia as we bring in our guest, Luke Sakari. We will talk to him about basketball and so much more. An Australian Cleveland fan. Yes, we will bring him in next right here on the Voice of the Land on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Land right here on the Big Play Network. If this is your first time watching the show, we appreciate you tuning in here tonight. We go live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, but an update on that coming up soon. But Peter, do we have our guest with us right now, waiting to jump on the show with us?
Yes, he is.
All right. Well, we welcome in Luke Sakari from Australia. Live and in color. It's bright and sunny there, it looks like, because it is
Thursday. It's Thursday, isn't it?
It's Thursday morning.
Nice.
What time is it on Thursday morning there in Australia?
About 20 past 11 here in Melbourne, Australia. So thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's good to see you again, my friend. It's good to see you again.
All right, Jay was...
was maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
December 2018,
down at Wow.
against Carolina, it was. I think Cam Newton was still quarterback of the Panthers at that stage. It was that long ago.
That was the game that Baker threw it to Jarvis in the end zone against like two or three.
Two bombs from about 50 yards. Like, it was an awesome game to be at. It was that back end of that season where they just missed the playoffs, like in that run. Awesome season, awesome game to be at. Jay took us on a little tour after the game down to the media box, down onto the field. It was awesome, man. That's still one of the great days of my life. So it was awesome. So it's awesome to speak to you again.
I was telling about when I took you tailgating and you saw all the RVs and how insane they were to you.
Just crazy. Mate, we don't have – like, tailgating here is – like, the sporting atmosphere in Australia is crazy, right? But tailgating is just not something that happens here, right? Like, it's not a thing. So – I think anyone who goes from Australia to America to any sporting event, tailgating is like, this is crazy. Like, what is going on? So it's awesome. It was awesome.
Well, I know that you're a big basketball fan. And what are you doing? Because I saw in your Twitter bio that you're with the Australian League down there, NBL. What do you do? How are you connected with that? And because I know that's our...
Yeah, I haven't seen you in 5 years. I don't know what... how far you are in your career now. Let us know, man.
Well, Cleveland hero Matthew Dellavedova is back down there as well, playing in his native country of Australia. So, how do you connect with them?
Yeah, so I work at the NBL in the media team. So media, PR, comms, all that type of stuff. Like you mentioned, our season literally ended on Sunday. So we ended on Easter Sunday with our game five, which is game seven. Our championship series is the best of five between Melbourne and Tasmania. Tasmania got the win, but Dally playing for Melbourne was incredible. Like literally, absolutely incredible. Came second in the finals MVP voting. I mean, we've all seen him playing in finals and what he does and kind of that level he goes to win all those Warriors series. And then it was the exact same. He literally almost got Melbourne over the line. He was coming off an incredible season. I think you'll probably see him feature potentially in the Olympics with Australia in the coming months as well. So there was some talk that he might potentially be trying to get another NBA gig at the back end of this season. We'll see how that plays out. But, Dally was down here and was incredible. There's been a few ex-Cavs come down to the NBL in previous years as well, but none to the success of Dally. He was absolutely awesome. So, yeah, that's kind of how my role here is with the NBL. You'll see a fair few NBL guys coming through the NBA draft in June. Alex Saar, who played for Perth, is a projected top three pick. He's out of France, so he'll be there. Bobby Klimtman's another guy who's projected in the first round, played down here this year. So, yeah, it's exciting down here, man. Like, basketball's booming down here. The NBA is just huge down here at the moment. It's quite incredible to see how much NBA coverage there is in Australia, to be honest. Like, it is huge down here, and as is the NBL. So, that's kind of like where I am at the moment. So, it's exciting. It's exciting times all around.
Now, you were born, raised in Australia, and like I said, 5 years ago was your first trip to Cleveland. How did you become such a big Cleveland fan?
No, it's a fair question. It definitely.
Now, I know the answer, but they don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
No, it definitely started with LeBron, not going to lie. I reckon it was,
of course,
2007-ish, around that time frame, is when we first got Foxtel down here, which is like the cable television, which ESPN is on. And it was just one of the first ever NBA games I'd watched, which happened to be a Cavs game on ESPN. Pretty sure it was against Atlanta from memory. LeBron just had one of those games. Like, he just had one of those games where I was just watching him like, this guy's pretty good, right? Like, this guy's basketball. And then from there, I'm like, I didn't have a team. I'm like, all right, like, I'm going to support Cleveland. Like, this is it. And then from there, that just like grew and grew and grew. I had obviously 2010 was interesting when the decision was made, and a lot of people kind of, you know, a lot of those fans internationally went to Miami. I'm like, nah, man, like I go for Cleveland now. Like, I'm not going to change teams because a player moves teams and whatnot. And that's just grown ever since. And then that's obviously bled into the Browns and the Guardians as well. Obviously, like, it's a bit different in Australia where we don't have kind of, like, with our cities, it's not like you have three or four sporting teams from different leagues and you kind of support all of them, right? Like, in Australia, it's not like that. So when I started going for the Cavs, and then you watch Cavs broadcasts and there's Browns players courtside or Guardians players, and, like, you kind of, you know, you're reading your Cavs news and there's Browns news mixed into that. So naturally, you become a fan of all the other sporting teams as well. And, from there, like, it's literally just taking off into a massive fandom and just love, honestly, like, love for the teams, love for the city. Like, going there in 2018 was just incredible. Hopefully we'll get back there soon in the next couple of years, I'm hoping. Just incredible sporting city to go for, I believe. And obviously there's been some hard times, but there's been some really good times as well. So, wouldn't have had it any other way.
See, in Cleveland, we got this famous saying. It's called, he gets us. Now, on a 1 to 10, you just scored like a 15, dude.
Nah, it's awesome. And, like, honestly, like, it's even just a big part of how it was. Like, you know, that 2010, 2011-ish time, I was about 13, 14, started, you know, made a Twitter account, got onto Twitter and whatnot. And just... that almost became that that other way to engage and watch games, watch Cavs games, talk to people in Cleveland about the game. Like, we don't have, obviously, well, at that stage, especially when the team was struggling, there wasn't a massive Cavs fan base in Australia. I've got a couple of really close mates who are the Cleveland fans across the board as well, which is absolutely awesome. But like, a massive part of watching games was watching it on Twitter as well and speaking to fans on Twitter about the game and just what's happening on the team and all that type of stuff. So you naturally just like had all these connections of people on Twitter when you watch all these games, and that obviously went into Browns games and as well. So even that side of it was just awesome. And like a really different thing, like I said, I mean, Australian sport's a bit more like that now, but back then it you know, you kind of had your group of mates who you went for with your Australian football team and you talk with them, but you didn't have just like that massive group of fans online that you could talk to about the game at any time. So even like Twitter was a huge part in just building that kind of fandom and love for it all as well, which was incredible.
So I've always had the question of, and we'll get back to the Cavs in a second, but you brought up Australian football, like now becoming a fan of the Browns and seeing how Americans do that style of football. Like how do you describe that difference if you were to someone that, you know, we've grown up here, so we know what American football is. And then there's always a conversation about like, well, everybody calls soccer football everywhere else, but Australian rules football. How would you describe that to someone?
It's, to be completely honest, I think it's probably the most difficult sport for someone to pick up and watch without knowing the rules. Like, I think American football for a lot of people who watch it the first time can be quite difficult as well. Just in terms of like first down, second down, all the markings on the field and what it all means. But people who watch Australian football for the first time, it's just like, you know, 40 odd guys on a field in short shorts and singlets chasing after a ball, like with no pads, and it looks like there's no rules, and like it's just craziness. Obviously, the game is a lot more nuanced than that. I just think it's an incredible sport. Like, there truly, I don't think there is not another sport like it in the world. Like, it's very unique and it's got a lot of quirks. But like, when you grow up, especially in Melbourne, like in Melbourne's kind of like the heartland in Australia for Aussie rules, is about 10 teams of the 18 that are out of Melbourne. Like, it's just when you grow up with it and the culture of it and the atmosphere of it in it around town, like when it's grand final week, which is obviously Super Bowl week equivalent in Melbourne, like the city is just, it's a light. There's parades, there's stuff in the city, like everywhere you turn, there's footy stuff. Like the game itself is probably some of the best athletes, most physical athletes, incredible skill level. Like, especially in the last 10 years, even the skill level of the players has been such a massive improvement. So like, I do think it's one where it is hard to explain without having a visual of watching the game while you're explaining it. I would encourage anyone who hasn't ever watched the game to go have a look at it. I would probably say last year's grand final, might be speaking biased because my team won, but last year's grand final was probably one of the most incredible games I've seen. Like, it was Collingwood and Brisbane, a close game throughout the entire game, high stakes. Like, the first half was just one of the most insane first halves of football anyone would ever see, especially on that stage of a grand final. Like, just go on a YouTube 2023 AFL Grand Final, watch the highlights, and just, like, you have to see it for yourself, and then I'm sure you'll come back.
I have to watch this now. I'm, like, fascinated in this. Like, one thing about our show is we'll talk all sports, in any sports. Like, Kevin is a massive soccer fan, and right. Soccer worldwide is huge. It's not as popular here yet. It's getting there. It's growing like quickly, too. So that's why we'll talk anything. We talk golf. We talk it all. Yeah. What are the huge sports in Australia? Because, I mean, you're obviously passionate about basketball and stuff, but what is, like, is there, like, a pecking order of the sports there?
I would say there's a pecking order depending on where you live. So the two biggest sports are Aussie rules and then rugby league, which is NRL, is the main rugby league competition in Australia. If you live in Melbourne, for example, if you probably live in Melbourne, Perth, or Adelaide, AFL, like, that's the top sport. If you live in Sydney or Queensland, it's the NRL. Like, so there's, there'd be probably about, off the top of my head, 10 or so teams from New South Wales, which is Sydney, in the NRL. Whereas in the AFL, there's about 10 teams from Melbourne. Like, it's just the way it was back in, you know, when these sports were starting. It's all these teams pop up in those cities. So, like, for example, in Melbourne, there's one NRL team, the Melbourne Storm, who are incredibly successful. But it's just them. So those are definitely the two main sports, and they play over winter. So their season's just started about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Then cricket would probably be the next biggest sport played over summer. Obviously, there's a lot of parallels with baseball, with cricket. That would definitely be the next sport. And then after that, like, honestly, like, basketball's definitely right up there. Like, I think basketball's definitely right up there, and its growth is massive. Soccer's pretty big as well. Like, the Matildas, which is the Australian women's national soccer team, like, a huge down here. Motorsport's big. Like, tennis, when the Australian Open's on, you know, really takes over town for about 2 or 3 weeks when tennis is down here in the middle of January. It is a very, very competitive sporting landscape in Australia. But I'll definitely say those two football codes over the winter, and then cricket, like, they would be those main three that people watch.
I thought cricket was really big there. And it wasn't for sure, though.
No, it definitely is. There's multiple forms of cricket as well. Like, there's test matches, there's T20, there's one. Like, there's all different formats of the game as well.
I have no idea how that game is scored. I tried to, like, watch it the one day. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm so confused. I just need someone there to explain it to me, and I had no one.
Once you explain it, I reckon you'd get the hang of it. But I can definitely understand when you look at a scorecard, you're like, what is going on? Like, I can definitely understand that for sure. But those would be those main ones. And then honestly, like, American sports, like I mentioned, the NBA is huge. The NFL has definitely taken off down here. We had Todd Gurley at a game, at an NBL game this year, sitting courtside. So I think the Rams and the Eagles, they've got some Australians on their team, and they have kind of that international marketing rights. Like, they have the Australian one. So there's lots of Rams and Eagles stuff down here, because they can promote and market into Australia. So, like, they're pretty prominent. Like, we just had Tom Brady come down doing a talk show a couple of months ago that sold out. So, yeah, like, the American sports has definitely blown up. Not so much baseball. But definitely the NFL and the NBA here is huge. The English Premier League's massive from a soccer point of view as well. So definitely a lot of interest in those.
Who's your English Premier team? Kevin's, like I said, he's our guru soccer guy.
Man City's my team from the Premier League. So they had a nice win this morning. Our Australian A-League, our Australian Soccer League, we actually have a team, Melbourne City, which is owned by Manchester City. So much more into the Australian, like, much more into the A-League than I am the Premier League.
I'm going to tell you right now, I forget which ones are which each time between United and City. I root for the one Kevin roots for, and I don't even know which one it is half the time.
Do they wear red or blue? That's the easiest way to ask. Do they wear red or blue?
I'm red, he's blue.
Oh, God. Good thing I'm in the middle here to separate you guys. I'll let you guys talk to soccer,
because United has been so down. Like, I'm feeling like I'm going through Cleveland fandom right now with United. Like, everybody says, like, oh, why are you a fan of United? They're like the New York Yankees. I'm like, no, that's Manchester City now. It has become more like Cleveland because they win the games that you don't expect them to. And they lose the games that are absolutely right there for the taking and do these dumb mistakes. So, you know, trust me, I don't have any sort of trash talk that I can give to the blue side, because they got Erling Haaland. They got the best striker in the world right now. They got some of the best talent in the world. I can't say anything. I know when my place is just to step back and not say anything. But, Luke, we know that you are a Cavs fan, so before we get you out of here, we did want to ask you, do you think this Cavs team, with all the injuries that they've had this year, Donovan Mitchell coming back tonight, you know, kind of back and forth on whether he's doing back-to-back games or not, Garland through the injuries just hasn't looked like the same player this year. It seems like, you know, mentally maybe that coming over that stuff has affected him. Mobley up and down. Do you think that they can get it together and maybe make a little bit of a run, give us a better feeling coming out of the playoffs than we had, especially last season?
Look, I really think they can. Like, I know it's been a really up and down season, and it probably feels like the lows have felt lower than they did last couple of seasons, I think. I think the flip side of that is I think this team playing at their best is better than they have been the last two seasons as well. It just seems that gap has potentially grown and that middle ground is probably not there. But I definitely more lean towards the positive side of that. I think it's going to be like, it's just the post-All-Star, like the form obviously hasn't been fantastic, but just the health, like it's hard. Like, and it's so hard because obviously that big run they went pre-All-Star probably happened without the full roster as well. So it kind of depends what side of that you fall on, whether, you know, how much you believe in the pre versus post-All-Star form. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think it's going to be, I said at the start of the year, and I think it still stands. I'm like, I can't really judge this season until the playoffs, regardless of what happens in the regular season. Like, probably going to be on the same amount of wins, you know, give or take a couple here or there. And it's going to, I think they can get it together. I think the talent's there. They've proved that they can win. Like, they've beaten some really good teams this year. Like, we've obviously dropped some games where it's like, how did you drop that? I think the Denver game a couple of nights ago was definitely not ideal. Today against Phoenix will be really interesting. Don't take too much out of yesterday against Utah. I think there are some games over this last week that will be pretty interesting. Like, I think they still got both LA teams as well. So there's some tests there, some good tests before the playoffs roll around. But I'm pretty confident. I think, like, it just comes down to how healthy Donovan is. Like, even when he's played since this All-Star break, he doesn't seem like fully healthy. That's a massive concern because he definitely elevates this team to a different level. Garland, like you mentioned, up and down. I think Mobley and Allen have been very good. Like, Allen especially has been awesome this season. I think Mobley would probably grade very harshly, to be honest, which makes sense because we hold him to that high standard of what he can be. I think he's still been very good for the most part. And the supporting cast is a lot better. Obviously, Max Strauss's impact has been huge. LeVert's had a better season than he ever has. I think they can. I think the matchup in that first round is going to be critical. I think, like, based on where we're sitting, the two teams that probably scare me the most is probably New York and Miami, just from that physical playoff hardened toughness side, which I think is what ultimately cost us last year. New York has that in spades and probably has a mental edge as well. I think Miami has that too. Like, that game in Miami a couple of weeks ago probably proved that as well. And then obviously there's other teams in that mix. Like, if it's in Indiana, is it in Orlando? It's a very different type of game for the Cavs. So that first round matchup will be critical. Part of me wants it to be New York and Miami, just in the sense of I want to see us against the best. Like, I don't want us to get a first round where they potentially not cruise through, but it's not as difficult of a matchup. And then you get to a second round and potentially get belted. Like, I want to have those playoff tests right up and actually see what the progress has been. But I am pretty optimistic. Like, I'm a big fan of the roster. I think at our best, like, there's a lot of weapons and it starts on the defensive end. So, yeah, it's just all going to come down to how much continuity can they build in this last 2 weeks and how that follows into the first round. So, yeah, it's been a very fascinating season, I would say, and I think just the gulf between the best and the worst has grown. Let's hope it goes towards the best come playoff time. How about you guys? Like, are you guys kind of in that same boat, or are you more optimistic? Like,
yeah, I'm definitely in that same boat. I mean, I know we're going to touch on it towards the end of the show, but I mean, I'm in that same boat where the lows have felt. We said from the beginning of the season, look, we know that everyone's only going to care about what happens in the playoffs for how last year ended, but we were going to enjoy the season. And even I have found myself having a hard time doing that from time to time. And when the lows have hit, they have felt lower than they probably should. And they, you know, maybe lost perspective on how those lows should feel. And then you have these great games, as you mentioned, beating some really good teams throughout the season. It's just, you know, it's really hard for people to gauge what they're going to do in the playoffs.
I will totally agree with you though on the New York thing. I want to play them first round. Like, I'm not about that. Like, oh, they're tough. We have a tough matchup against them. Try to avoid them. No, I want to play the toughest matchup. I just like that for sure. And I totally agree. Like, bring them on. Let's just slay the dragon right now. Get it over with. And I think if you do beat them, it's going to give you another confidence level for that next round.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you don't want to go through the playoffs without playing the teams you're going to have to beat eventually, right? Like, you don't want to have an easier run and it turns into a bit of a false dawn of what you are. I'm like, no, you want to get those best teams. So, like, let's get it straight up and just, you know, I think they've slid a bit. I think they've lost three in a row. So they've slid a little bit in the standings. So that 3-6 matchup could definitely still happen potentially. Or even if we drop to 4, they drop to 5, there's still a few things that could happen there. So it's going to be interesting. And I think home court's going to be pretty big as well. I'm much more confident in this team at home than I am on the road as well.
Yeah. I mean, they've been a pretty good road team this year though, too, which has been the good adjustment from last year that we have seen. But when you get your, you know, when you get your manhood question like they did last year and just bullied out of the playoffs very quickly, they're going to have a lot of questions to answer. And I want to see how they stand up when that new season comes and maybe that refreshed mindset hits as well, that you probably get like a week off or so, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on where your first matchup is. But where does that mindset go? And have they been thinking about this all year, and have they overlooked putting in the work and putting in the habits in the regular season? Because even their minds have only been focused on, we have to answer the questions of us in the playoffs. And that's a dangerous game to play. But Luke, we really appreciate your time tonight. We always give our guests a chance to plug anything, where people can follow you at, what work you're doing, things like that. So go ahead, plug away. And we really appreciate your time tonight.
Nah, thank you guys. I mean, just on Twitter at Luke Sicari, but more importantly, like at MBL. Like, don't worry, follow about me. Don't go follow the MBL and check out the Australian Basketball League and everything that happens over there. That's what I'll plug. Go follow at MBL, and I'm sure you'll find me somewhere within that timeline of retweeting things and liking things. So, thank you guys. It's been awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes. Let's not wait 5 years again to talk to each other like this. We'll have you on again for sure, man. You've been awesome.
You're welcome anytime. And we know, like, the time difference, the day difference, things like that. But as a big basketball fan, like I am, to hear you break it down and the way that I kind of break it down too, it's just cool to have conversation with like-minded people. And I follow the NBA. I have those highlights going on my Twitter, and now got following you as well. So trust me, if you're a basketball fan, you want to follow some other basketball leagues, not just the NBA. Because in the NBL, there is some really good basketball going on there.
And there is also, just quickly, Luke Travers, who's obviously was a draft pick of the Cavaliers 2 years ago. It's coming off a really strong season with Melbourne as well, and a strong playoff run too. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets caught over the offseason as well. One to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Yeah, Luke Travers, I know a lot of people, kind of a cult hero during the preseason, the way he would play. And then, of course, draft and stash type guys, but hopefully he can make his way over here after a strong season. Luke, thank you so much for your time tonight. That is Luke Sicari from the PR media team for the NBL there in Australia. Well, we're way late for our second break, but we're going to take it. We have
our second and third break, I think, right now, to be honest with you.
We're going to do a quick segment coming back, and then we'll have fun at the end, either talk Cavs or have some fun with whatever we want to talk about. We got a lot of viewers on Twitter right now, so stay tuned. Quick commercial break, and then we have a pretty cool announcement of when you can see us next with a live show.
Something I'm really excited about, man. I'm actually pretty pumped about it.
This is the Voice of the Land on the Big Play and Beyond Air Podcast Networks.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
Welcome back to the Voice Land right here on the Big Play NBA Air Podcast Networks. I'm Kevin Arnold, always Positive Jay, in his man cave. I just keep moving around this house.
Yeah, you don't have like a stationary spot you really go to.
I don't.
You're everywhere.
I mean, the basement, we don't always, you know, sometimes I get knocked off the stream because the internet connection is not as strong down there. But right now, it's not the best place to be because we're clearing it out for the backup plan for Lincoln's first birthday party coming up at the end of the month. Yes, like it's crazy that, you know, it feels like just yesterday I was announcing on here that we were pregnant.
Yeah.
We're about to be at the first year birthday. They really do say, I mean, that saying that you blink and things go by so fast. You don't know it. You don't really feel it until you are a parent. So, you know, Lincoln is out there. And I guess he was, when Luke was talking, he was very attentive to that. He's watching Bluey out there. You guys would be proud of me. I didn't ask about Bluey. Like that's.
Yes. I was waiting. I was waiting for it. Luke, don't do it, Kevin.
I was half joking about that. I almost wanted to ask him like, you know, like how frustrating is it if like now in today's generation, like the only thing that people know about Australia is Bluey. But I mean, it does like there is some educational pieces to understand Australian culture because there's actually an episode where, you know, their family.
Kevin,
what?
I have Bluey bowls at my house, like the eating bowls for little kids for her nieces. I was like, oh my God, I have Bluey at my house. Oh man, I got Bluey at my house. I can't make fun of Kevin no more.
Well, like, and it, like to tie this into sports, and he was talking about Australian rules football, them and like their neighbors, there's this episode where they're, again, they're in the same area, but they're fans of those two different teams because they're all like 10 teams are in Melbourne.
Isn't that crazy how that is over there? Like, it's hard to fathom how like, they have just like that's like having the Steelers, the Ravens, Cincinnati, Jets fans, Houston fans, all right next to each other, like all intertwined. That's craziness.
I mean, it's kind of like how soccer is though overseas. Like, I mean, look at, you know, you have Manchester United and Manchester City. They're in Manchester, England. I'm sure that there's other soccer stadiums and like lower division teams that around that same area. There's plenty of teams in and around London. So it's, you know, you have that same kind of sense here. We're just used to, you know, we have states and if you got a big city in that state, like that's where a team is. And then you got to go several hundred miles before you get to the next one. I mean, you have to, even though we have two NFL teams in Ohio, that's a 4-hour drive just to get to the Cincinnati Bengals and get to,
yeah,
I don't know, people call it Kentucky, whatever. But to get to Cincinnati, Ohio, it takes about 4 hours. They're probably, you know, minutes, 10, 20 minutes apart. That's what it sounds like. So really kind of cool, really cool to talk to Luke, and we'll definitely have him back on. Before we hit our final break and get to our final segment, we teased that we would have at the bottom of the hour, it's kind of the quarter of the hour, 10 minutes to the top of the hour announcement. But Jay, myself, Peter, we are really proud to announce that we were asked to do a live show this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Great Lakes Collectors Convention presented by Greeny Sports Cards. I believe his name is Jeremy Irvine. Is that correct, Peter? Is that the guy that we've been kind of connecting with, the leader of?
Actually, I've been working with Steve Greenberg, the owner of Greeny's.
Okay.
I've known Steve since probably like the fourth grade.
So. Well, I believe Jeremy is the one that like connected with.
Yes, he's there. I think their social media guy. He's the one that's putting out all like the cards and stuff. The fact, Kevin, I think we're gonna get our own cards, dude.
I know.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm excited as all hell about that. Like I had a lot of fun last time we were there, and to just be a part of this with all like the guests that are all gonna be there and us being there, like. This is like my first big thing. Like I am pumped. I am so excited. I got to actually do some research probably for this show for once.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll have any guests or anything like that because there'll still be stuff going on the main stage now at 10:30.
That's the thing. Who knows what it'll be like? We might just be able to be like, hey, come on up with us for 2 minutes. Yeah. I have no idea what to expect. And I don't want to plan anything. I'm just going to go with the flow, and I'm excited about it, man.
Going to go with the flow for sure. Now, you know, again, if we get a chance to bring guests up, we will. If not, we'll get a chance to show a lot of people, because look, the Final Four would have already, those two games for the women's tournament would have already happened. The men's isn't till Saturday night. So there'll be plenty of people there, and they'll probably be traveling to Independence. It's at the Independence Fieldhouse, which I think is.
Wait, Alabama and UConn play Saturday night?
Yes, the Final Four men's games are on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm not stressed about that game. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, you got a bracket challenge on the line. You got to see.
If they lose, I win. But if they lose the next one too, I still win. They win the next two, I lose.
Yeah, and you lose Riz's phone number for a couple of weeks. And it's a good thing that you did what you did today while you still have his number, just in case. We'll see if we get that promotion tomorrow. But really excited to be out there. I was even asked to be a part of a baseball conversation at 10:30 on the main stage with Gabriela Cruz, who is a Big Play teammate as well here with the Big Play Network. She's on the main show, the Big Play Reflog Show, Reflog Cleveland, but also the in-stadium host at Progressive Field, the main one that they have throughout the season. Really good singer as well, but we're going to talk baseball. I will help promote. In that moment, I will be working for my place, my employer, and then at 11 o'clock.
We'll you do here. All the promoting you should be doing for that on that stage.
Yes, because Andre is, we're going to try to get him.
Okay. But of course, that's something I'm really cool with you promoting that, because like I said, I'm just extremely proud of you. And if you don't want to, I also understand. But yeah, I mean, here's an idea I want to talk about, since we're going to be at a card show. If I get us a bunch of cards, you guys want to do some ripping of packs on the show?
We can do that. We can do that for sure.
I was thinking about doing something fun like that.
Like I said, we're going to have enough. We're going to need to have enough planned, because if it's just us, now we get a chance to show a bunch of people that haven't even tuned into us before who we are. We're not, again, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm seeing the number 271. Viewers on Twitter right now, and that's been jumping up and down throughout the night. So we appreciate everyone that has tuned in live tonight. If you're watching on replay or listening on replay, we appreciate you tuning in as well. We're not a place that is going to manufacture hot takes. If we have a hot take, it's just going to come out naturally. We're going to have real sports conversations. We're going to keep things in reality. We're not going to try to overdo things, underdo things, but if we feel some type of way, we feel like we need to go over the top with something, it is coming from a genuine place, the same place that everybody else is.
And reach out to us on it however you can. And we'll have an honest conversation. And guess what? You might even change our minds.
Yeah.
Unlike some people who just stick to their guns and they'll argue even when they know they're wrong. We'll actually listen to you guys and
listen. We're not going
to
answer to people that want to try to troll us or take shots at us, like make things personal. We know that there's people out there that still try to do those things. We'll have real conversations. If you disagree, let us know. I'm at Kevin and Seven. That's Kevin with an A, Seven with an A on Twitter. For those that just listen to the audio, you don't get to see our name cards that pop up that Peter has set up for us. Jay is at Always Positive Jay on X, at LPV Productions across the board. So reach out to us. We'll have real conversations at @BeatSale_pod. I have access to that. I'm going to try to get Jay access to that too. So if you're tweeting at the show, we'll both be able to have access and communicate with everyone. Really excited to get out there on Saturday for this event. So that's the Great Lakes Collectors Convention. It is Friday through Sunday at the Independence Fieldhouse on the campus of Independence High School. I do believe, Peter, am I wrong about that?
Nope, you're right.
You are right.
Yep. So on the campus of Independence High School. So a place I've well-versed with. Peter's well-versed with doing a lot of stuff for the Chagrin Valley Conference, as the Independence Blue Devils are a big part of that, just like my own Wycliffe Blue Devils here in Wycliffe, Ohio. But we do need to catch our last break of the night. We thank the Great Lakes Collectors Convention for bringing us out there, presented by Greeny Sports Cards. We got one final segment left. This is the Voice of the Land on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above average hire in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
That's right. Vector Technical will get the right person in the right job the first time. We thank them for all of their support over these last 2 years with our show here. I always drive past one of their offices in Willoughby. Plenty of jobs available, so reach out to Vector Technical. I'm Kevin Arnold. That is always Positive J. Peter Tellup. Along the way as well, our producer extraordinaire here on the Voice of the Land and the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks. I did forget to mention, as we were given that announcement, that we'll be doing a second show this week within just a couple of days, so plenty of time to react to anything that happens with the Guardians and Cavs in a much shorter time span. I hope I'm not blindsiding you guys with this. I think we talked about this. We won't have a Wednesday show next week. On April 10th, we'll be back. So we'll have a show this Saturday, and then we will be back on April 17th as well, back to our regularly scheduled programming every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, whether in studio or in our home studios as we are.
We got a lot better sound this week, my friend.
A lot better sound. I wish Andre Knott was on tonight, but that's okay. They are traveling to Minnesota.
We'll blame Andre. That must have been his
fault. It was totally Andre's fault.
All right. Well, that's my podcast partner, Andre and the Dugout. Land on the Man. So if you want to get a little baseball conversation.
I've actually been listening, dude. It's been awesome. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Just chemistry just right off the bat. And it's just.
For sure.
It's just so easy to work with him. And I am very humbled to get that opportunity to do that with Andre, and that he came to me with the idea, and we are getting a chance to do that. Now, again, it is on a subscription behind a paywall type platform, thelandondemand.com, the Land on Demand app, but great conversation. There's plenty of great stuff on there. Not too much cross promotion. I try to keep these two things separate for the betterment, for out of respect of both sides. But
at the same time, we also do promote other people's stuff, which we're cool with, because we're not in competition with anybody. We're all about helping each other. And, dude, we love baseball on this show. We're a huge baseball show. So if you want to get really into baseball, listen to Kevin's other show, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, I'm all about promoting you guys, and I'll do it on my own time whenever I can.
And what's cool about it is it's not just breaking down the record in every single game from the time that we record the last time to the next time we record each week. It's the stories that, Andre's with the team. He goes beyond, it's Dre in the dugout, but it goes even beyond that, like the clubhouse and getting to know these guys. He is someone that, and I'm kind of modeling myself after it, that likes to get to know people and you see the stories behind them. So before you criticize them, and the criticism is warranted at times, and other times maybe it goes a little bit overboard. But knowing that person behind it. Now, does that make it difficult to criticize as well? Maybe. But understanding those two different sides is very.
When you're being critical and the person you're being critical will most likely agree with you, you're doing it right.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Jay. That's the perfect way to say it. Now, before we do close out tonight, I know I said Cavs. I don't think we have enough time to break down Cavs. We can talk more about
that. I think Luke Cavill covered it pretty damn good for us, to be honest with you. I mean, he was fantastic.
Well. And the Cavs will have a couple games before we get back together on Saturday, so we can always talk a little bit more Cavs on Saturday as we get down the stretch and get into the playoffs. We can give our thoughts a little bit more deeper. But look, this weekend is going to be a huge, huge weekend for the city of Cleveland and Northeast Ohio. You have the Women's Final Four that's in town, and they get started on Friday. Now, Tourneytown is their, fan fest. That's going on at the Huntington Convention Center. I think that starts tomorrow, and plenty of, family fun activities is what I'm seeing. And just like when All-Star was here and they had that stuff in Tower City, just getting a chance to immerse yourself in basketball and seeing seeing which teams are in town and the players and stuff. We know the names of Caitlin Clark. South Carolina has plenty of names down their list. Paige Beckers, UConn, that is a well-known program in women's basketball. And then the upstart NC State, how about that? They have a men's They got their men's team in the Final Four and as an 11 seed after winning five straight games in the ACC tournament. And then their women's team getting past big names like Stanford and teams like that to make it to the Final Four. Such a great story there. So Friday, those games will happen. And then I think they start at 7, and then the next one's 30 minutes after at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Then on Saturday, you got the convention. People will be watching the Final Four, the men's on TV. But, Guardians will play against Minnesota. They'll be working their way to finish out their road trip to start the year to come back. Sunday, you got the championship game of the women's tournament. And then Sunday, it's Solar Eclipse. Guardians opening day. We know that the home opener is always a party. It's always a celebration in the city of Cleveland with more people here. Yeah, it'll be crazy, and I'm sure there'll be stories and people wanting to complain about getting around town, stuff like that. But, boy, the city of Cleveland is going to be on full display. Spotlight is on us this week, and that is so cool. And, look, I'm rooting for Caitlin Clark.
Hey, man, there's a reason the shirt I wore today says what it says right where it says it. I was like, right. We're going to be in Australia. I got to rep the city of Cleveland, man. And you got the whole state.
Yeah, I got the whole state rocking. I mean, you know, the
earlier today, you should have seen it. Like, you positioned your, like, the state was right over our logo, and our, like, logo was fitting in perfectly with the shirt. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. You're almost there. You were perfect for a while, but
it's weird because when you do this, like, it reverses which side you're
on. Yeah, that's why it throws me off. I'm like, this shirt. I'm like, this way. I got it right this time.
Yeah. So, but Jay,
I'm really excited for the whole weekend all the way into Monday. It's going to be a blast. Cleveland's going to show out. We're going to have a great time. Weather's going to be good.
Yeah.
And we're going to. It's going to be an amazing time.
Right now, put it on wax right now that the weather is going to be good. And, I know that there's a lot of people downplaying the solar eclipse, and there's clips of people that have reacted to it in the past. I know our friends with the really big show.
React to it after it.
Yeah. They had a funny clip of people that were reacting to it. So you're just hearing the audio, so it sounds funny. But if anybody's like questioning like how cool it is, just, you know, if it's a nice day and you've gotten some glasses, just give it a look. You know, it's science and something you're not going to see for 300 years. I know people said we just had one a few years ago, but the totality of the solar eclipse is going to be right over us. Like, that doesn't happen very often. Just like comets, you don't see that. Like, just immerse yourself in more things than just one. We're really passionate about sports. Trust me. We are so passionate about sports, but being able to keep your mind open to so many other things, that's what helps. That's what helps the world. That's what helps us all be more together than separated, things like that. So I know it seems like something small and minute to some, and that's totally okay. If that's how you feel and you don't want to be a part of it, hey, that's fine. I'm really excited about it. I'm really, you know, hopefully you get a chance to see it. I'll be inside the studio as we have some remote shows at our place. And I'll be running the board back at the station, but hopefully the sun is just in that right spot where I get a chance to see it, or we're on a commercial break, run outside, take a look at it, because the totality only lasts for 2 minutes. So if I see it for 30 seconds, then I will feel fulfilled and get a chance to be a part of it and be downtown. I just know I got to get to work early on Monday.
I got to get to work early tomorrow. So I guess we can call this a wrap.
So for anybody that is coming into town for the Eclipse, the Final Four, we welcome you to town. Cleveland is a great place, and make sure you spread the word when you leave. For Always Positive Jay, Peter Tellup, Luke Sicari, myself, Kevin Arnold, reminding all of you sports fans, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. To everyone out there, everyone as far worldwide as we can reach, we truly love you all, 3,000. Jay.
And don't talk about it. Be about it.
As our great late friend Mike Allen always used to say, live life, all gas, no brakes. We'll see you on Saturday at 11 a.m. for a special live edition of The Voice of Land from the Great Lakes Collectors Convention presented by Greeny Sports Cards. Until then, have a great night, everybody. This is The Voice of Land on the Big Play and Be On Air Podcast Networks.